Time flies. It was 3 years ago that Marilyn and I led a trip of 19 people to Israel. Right now, we were over there 3 years ago. We were seeing some incredible things happen, even without our luggage. 19 people go up to the counter in Buffalo. Marilyn and I are leading the way because we're the head of the trip. Our luggage goes in first. All the other people's luggage makes it to Tel Aviv. Ours is still in Buffalo. Now, that means this was in the baggage. But I was smart enough somehow to keep my stole in my carry-on because I was marrying a couple on the shore of the Sea of Galilee on Saturday night. But since we landed on a Friday, and in just an hour or so it was going to be Shabbat, Sabbath, our bags would not get to us until probably sometime late Sunday. God is good. One of the people on the trip, the father of the bride, had a white polo that he gave me, as well as some other undergarments. We just happened to be around the same size. And God made it happen. We had a beautiful wedding. And Sunday, our bags were there. But God doesn't let things stand in the way. Now, here's something that's probably going to be a surprise to some of you. Soon after we got back from that trip, it was on Sunday, July 27th, that I stood in this pulpit for the very first time as a guest. Father James was over in the chair, and I was a guest preacher, a prospective candidate for rector of St. Andrews. And how ironic it is that today is the very same gospel that I preached about that day. I was blessed. The message and the gospel have not changed. 3 wonderful years can provide growth and insight, a deeper knowledge of God's plan for all of our lives, and it can also open our eyes to a painful truth that comes along with that gospel. Jesus sat in the boat and spoke to those who gathered near him. And they listened. And he told them the parable of the soils, which is also known as the parable of the sower. This remarkable parable reminds us that the kingdom of God is an open invitation to anyone who is willing to receive it, whose heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit and is ready to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, have the task of sowing the seed of the one true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the saving grace of God through true repentance and forgiveness of our sins. And that all takes place through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We've often shared that it is so sad that some people never accept Jesus' invitation. Or even worse, they only partially accept it by plugging in their own truths instead of his. Just as the seed falls on different soils, so will his gospel. Some of that seed will take root and flourish, while some will wither and die. It's the same with those who fail to fully see the truth and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is God, and that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Him. That, my dear friends, is the cold, hard reality that not everyone will be saved. Many, through their own unwillingness to see the truth or to accept the truth. And that is not a fun thing or an easy thing to hear. It can, of course, be horrifying to think that there are some who will not spend eternity with Jesus. It's heartbreaking. Or even worse still, knowing that there's nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do to change that. While it's true that there's not one person here today who can save a soul, it's also true that each one of us is called to tell them the truth anyway. We've got to keep spreading the news. We're not supposed to fold up our tents and go home because we have no control over who goes to heaven or not. No, instead, that makes us want to try even harder to sow the seed of truth and to pray for the Holy Spirit to take root in their hearts. Giving up should not be a part of our vocabulary. And besides sowing the seed, we're called to nourish and to help it grow through witness, good example, and through patience and love. And that's where the church comes in, as the body of Christ. There are people in this congregation who are very familiar with seed and what seed does, and also how far you can go with that seed. When you plant the seed, when you plant that crop, you can't make it grow. We saw last year the lack of water took the corn crop down south. Did the farmers cause that? No. Farmers did everything they could. They watered it. Just like when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and you introduce them to the gospel, do you make them come to Christ? The answer to that is no. You introduce it, and then you pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, you, through friendship, through love, and through being the best Christian you can be, as an example, can most certainly help, but you don't crack open that seed. The Holy Spirit does that. And that's why we have to trust in the Holy Spirit, that that invitation that has been given will be opened and will be a part of their life forevermore. But sadly, there are some people who think that simply praying a prayer will get you to heaven, or maybe answering an altar call at a concert will open the door to eternal life. Well, these are indeed important and powerful steps towards knowing Jesus. But they're merely a part of that seed that is planted and which is broken open by the Holy Spirit to sprout and take life. Let me give you an example. In the year 2000, Marilyn and I and the kids sat in the stadium every night during the Billy Graham Crusade in Jacksonville, Florida. Marilyn and I were counselors. And so when the invitation started, and we knew that because the band started playing Just As I Am, and people would start to come down from the stadium onto the infield, anybody who was wearing a white name tag was a counselor. And we were to stand by people when they wanted to make a decision to come to Christ, and we were to pray with them and share the gospel with them. But it didn't stop there. We had them fill out some information, and that information then was turned to a follow-up committee. Yes, I had to call the people that I spoke with, call them the next day to follow up and make sure that they were okay and if they had any other questions. And then they were connected to a church in the community who did the watering, the fertilizing, if you will, of the seed that had been planted. Just praying a prayer alone will be like the seed falling on one of the four soils. Think of those four soils: the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. The environment, the life, as a matter of fact, at the very heart of the believer, is the soil upon which the seed falls. But just praying a prayer alone is going to be like the seed falling on the rocky soil. Unless there's a change of heart and a repentance, a willingness to submit, to accept Jesus as Lord, trusting in Him for all things, and that's called faith. But if you're the same person doing the same old things day in and day out, the same old behavior that you did before you met Jesus, then there's been no growth, no transformation, no root. I asked this question a couple of weeks ago. Who are you when no one's looking? Are you the same person that you are in church on Sunday or at a coffee hour or a get-together? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." You see, a response is required. Not just saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to know you," but more than that is required. We have to give Him the permission to change us, to transform us, to make us grow, to be more like Him. And that's not just called permission, but submission to His Lordship. So I'll ask you another question. Are you the same person doing the same old things that you did before you met Jesus? I pray that you're not. Spreading the word of God is a charge that each and every believer is given. When Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The great commissioning helps not only to spread the seed, but to help prepare the soil, to nurture the growth that God has enabled. And the work of the people, the church of God, is to water and feed those whom he's called and chosen to be his. Those with ears to hear his message, to hear and understand the word of God. Our response as members of his holy church, who were one-time seedlings ourselves, each and every one of us, is to bear the fruit of his love in mission to others. In today's Old Testament lesson that Pastor Sam read just a little while ago, from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, God reminds us that he expects to see efforts of his works. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's investment in you, in all of us, is the most costly of all, that of his Son, Jesus Christ. His expectation of us is costly as well. He expects us to give our all, our everything to him, not just by calling him Lord, but by treating him as Lord. Once the seed is sown, the body of Christ must assist in the growth of the seedling. And that, my friends, is where all of us come in. And it's not just for the growth of others, but for our own growth as well. One of the parishioners in this parish told me that before we met, and I will not use gender to be able so that you might identify this person, but that person told me that they didn't read the Bible. But after discussions and lessons and sermons and teachings, that person's in the Bible all the time now. And not just to open it and see where it falls and say, "Ah, that's what God has to say to me today." But it's being in his word, being fed, being nourished. And God bless that person. Coming to church on Sunday is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't or shouldn't end there. Coming to church on Sunday does not make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's does not make you a hamburger. You remember that was in last week's sermon? We're called to be in a relationship with one another, spending time in God's Word, sharing and praying with one another. I love, 3 years ago, on the 27th of July, I got my first taste of passing the peace at St. Andrew's. And I was in awe. And I still am. And it's very hard, before the bell rings, to see everybody working your way through the congregation. But I'm not going to stop trying. That's what family is about. We gather together in fellowship and an opportunity to let the light of Christ shine in one another and those around us, not just for the clergy ministering to you, but it's about you ministering to one another, using the blessings that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon you for his glory, for his kingdom. Everything that we do and say as the body of Christ has to do with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listening to a person who needs to share a word of encouragement, a prayer, that's spreading the good news that Christ has given to you. I can't tell you how often people come into my office, we close the door, and all of a sudden an hour and a half has gone by, but that person, and all I do is listen. And I may share a thought, a word, a prayer, but that person is different when they leave because they've had a chance to be heard, to tell what's going on in their lives. We're blessed to be in good soil, and we must help to nurture those seeds who pop up along the way by the grace of God, and to help them to flourish and grow in Him, to bear fruit themselves. And so I want to encourage you, keep spreading the news. That's letting the light of Christ shine. And we're called to speak to others about the blessing of Christ's church community in which God has planted you. You didn't happen here by accident. You came to this place because God called you. I came to this place because God called me. I've said many times before, it could be on the line at Walmart, could be on the line at Harvey's, you could be in Brooks Auto Parts, you could be in Lowe's, or even in Rockin' 8 Cinemas. It's quite often not what you say, but how you say and carry yourself. Along the way, we can help to guide others towards Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the narrow gate. And Jesus told us these words in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. That's all part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it." So let me encourage you today, keep spreading the news and watch the seeds grow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.